Let us pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask you to be with us. We'll make decisions for betterment of our county. Lord, we ask you this humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Need approval of the budget meeting for September the 7th.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Need approval of the regular meeting, September the 7th.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Vouchers.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Look at Mr. Hatch. I almost had it out. Hey, y'all just caught me again. Senior moment. All in favor?
Uh-huh.
All right. All right. Approval of the minutes. We just done that.
Yeah.
They had the minutes of, in the wrong place. It was mismatched. So. All right.
Just checking your seat.
Hey. Council, two officers here. I'd like to speak. Nope. All right. CPA, come on.
We have a box of audit reports here to think of. First of all, we really appreciate the opportunity to work with you. Good experience. Pretty thick report in front of you. You have a handout in there that on some of the things we're going to hit on. Just kind of going through the report, I got the page numbers on there. You like, I just don't turn to there or anything. But the first thing in the report is going to be our audit letter, which states our opinions. It also states we've conducted a full financial audit of the county, which includes the board and each of the five constitutional officers, and that we conducted the audit in accordance with applicable auditing standards that includes generally accepted auditing standards, government auditing standards, federal single audit, federal auditing standards, single audit, state single audit auditing standards, and so forth. The goal of an audit is to receive an unmodified or clean opinion on the financial statements. So basically what that means is that if anyone's reading the financial statements and they're trying to base a decision on them, an unmodified opinion means that we, in our opinion, the financial statements are reliable and they're not going to be misled in making that decision. So with that said, the county did receive an unmodified or clean opinion on the financial statements, which is the highest level of assurance and a good reflection on the quality of financial records and internal control procedures of the board and the constitutional officers.
Thank you very much.
Moving along, in the audit report is the management discussion and analysis. This is required information to be put in there. I'm not going to go through that because it's based on all the information that's behind that in the financial statement. But it is good to read. It's on pages 7 through 13. It's good to take a look over at another time. But moving into the actual financial statement of the audit report, on page 17, we have the governmental funds balance sheet, right? So the governmental funds are in large part the general operational funds and the associated funds with that. Dix County maintains 25 governmental funds. Seven are included on the page 17 that are separately stated. And then they have 18 more that are shown separately on pages 62 through 64, through 65. And the first one we're going to look at is the balance sheet. The balance sheet has your assets, which you guys own, what's owed to you, your liabilities, which you guys owe to other people, and the fund balance, which is the net of those two. A couple of things to point out on the balance sheet is total assets in your general fund, which is your general operation. Spending that. And that's about $8.1 million of what you own or what's owed to you. You had liabilities of $3.5 million roughly, which you guys owe. And then the rest of that was the net of those two, which is about $4.6 million, and that's unassigned. One of the ways we like to interpret that analytically and everything is that if you guys spent exactly the way that you spent in the prior year, so your operating expenses were the same, how long could you go without having to bring in any more revenue based on your unassigned fund balance? And we generally like to see that you guys would be able to get probably about 3 to 5 months or what have you. And it shows on here as of September 30, 2022, that you guys had about 9.5 months, which is a good sign. Pretty general operations. And then on your total governmental funds, which is on that second column, you guys would get about 2 months. The difference there is that includes all of those funds, those separate funds, like the emergency 911 fund, which is all restricted, so that money is for that. There's no unassigned amount there, or not a ton of unassigned amount there. So that's why that number would be lower than that. On page 19, I was looking at the income statement. That's our revenues, which you guys bring in, and expenses, what's spent. In looking at that, revenues for the general fund were about $13.5 million. Overall governmental funds, you guys brought in about $30 million. In the general fund, you spent about $6 million. And your net change of fund balance, which is like your net income, it dropped about $1.1 million. But the reason for that is because of transfers out. So that you had the general fund, your main operations, which received the revenues, and you transferred out the fund to other funds and everything. And so that's why that went down. It wasn't because of any kind of operational issues. And then you see your overall amount went up by about $1.5 million. Moving on to page 30, looking at capital assets. Capital assets, we saw increases in capital assets or capital spending related to projects and construction of projects that were not completed at the end of the year, but in process. We had some improvements in equipment, saw increases in capital assets there. And then one thing that it's good to look at is the depreciation. Well, it's not a perfect measure, but it helps to gauge the useful life of the assets that remain. And as of right now, you guys are about 50% depreciated out overall. So that's good. Moving on to debt. The debt increased by about $11.5 million this year, which is somewhat misleading because you only took out notes of you took out notes on equipment, which is only about $1 million of that. But then there's the FRS. And the FRS puts a liability on your books that's beyond your operational control. You can't really do anything about that. It's based on how the markets do and how much you guys have to fund as of that date to make sure people get paid on the pension plan. So so there's not a whole lot you can do about that, and that could go up and down based on markets and what have you, people retiring. So that's good. Moving on to page 69. There was a federal single audit this year, as there always will be, because that if you spend over $750,000 of federal funds, it's going to trigger a single audit. Basically, a single audit requires greater scrutiny from us to make sure that there's compliance with the programs from which you're receiving money. The two major programs we had are the Coronavirus Relief Fund and then the ARPA for the American Rescue Plan Act Fund. Based on that and our review of those programs, we kind of end up finding sequestration costs for those two. And then on page 72, in addition to the federal single audit, we also had a state single audit, and that's again $750,000 spent of state funds. And same thing, the two major programs that we audited were the small county outreach program, the SCOT program, and the aviation grant program. And again, the report had no findings or question costs of that either. Moving on to page 82, we had the management letter, which was required, and it contains the findings. That there was one finding this year, and it was related to schedules for amounts due to individuals in the fiduciary funds. Per our conversation with the clerk's office, they're working diligently to correct this schedule, and we've received a response, and that's been input into the report anyway. There were no other new findings Continuing on in the management letter, there was one finding from last year that was uncorrected about physical inventory counts. Again, we received a letter saying that management said that efforts will continue to be made to correct this, and that's good input in here. On the other side, there were three findings from last year that were all substantially corrected in the current year, and so that was good. Moving down to the independent accounts report, this is on page 84. Rules of the Auditor General that require you to perform procedures to verify compliance in the following areas. That investment in public funds is probably the one that's most, that's going to be, I guess, most prominent. There's also procedures to look at the emergency 911 grant compliance, the clerk's court-related budgetary compliance, and the clerk's compliance with state court performance standards. We perform appropriate procedures and had no findings with regards to these matters either. And lastly, on page 85, we have the Government Auditing Standards Report, or the Report on Internal Control for Financial Reporting. Part of what we do as an audit is we look at the internal controls that are going on. We don't look into such a depth that we make an opinion on them, but if there is anything large, then there would be a finding, but there were no findings in this. So, so with regards to internal controls, we have no findings or question calls for those procedures. That's the presentation. We really appreciate, again, getting to work with you all. It's been a great experience for us. And,
thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Is your question?
One of the best audits I've seen in a very, very long time. And thank y'all for y'all's hard work, Barbie.
Dwayne, your staff. Yeah.
Thank y'all.
Jackie.
Motion to accept.
Got a motion to accept. Mr. Hatch, second Mr. Wood, all in favor. Aye.
Yeah, Mr. Hatch, I'll communicate that to the team and everything.
Thank you very much.
That.
Thank you and your team.
Thank you.
And like Mr. Mark said,
Dwayne,
Arthur, Paul, Miss Jackie, Miss Linda, you two on the end. Thank you very, very much.
Thank
you. I called Miss Jackie. I miss Jackie. Miss Jackie.
What about
her? I called her name out.
You
better be calling names. Just thank them all.
Well,
you'll forget somebody.
I know it. Heck, I forget your name half the time.
What they have to do with
I'll remind you.
All right. Up next, Mr. Denny George. I'm slipping him in. Central Florida Electric.
Good evening, Chairman and Commission and staff. I just wanted to take a few minutes to express our gratitude and that of CFEC for the collaboration and cooperation that we received during the aftermath of Hurricane Idalia with Dixie County officials, the Commission, and even the Sheriff's Office. While our coastal areas were obviously very impacted due to the storm surge, we received more of a glancing blow to the rest of our service territory, including Dixie County, which we're thankful for. However, the tornado and tornado-like activity that started in Cross City continued to and through Old Town, then jumping the river and ending in the Wanee and Sun Springs area of Gilchrist County is where one might find the majority of our broken poles and the greatest damage to our system and the highest amount of man hours needed for restoration. On Wednesday night at 5:05 p.m., I pulled the trigger for Storm Services, the entity that comes in and supports disaster relief efforts so that you can sleep and feed large number of workers. By noon on Thursday, they had already set up and were ready to cook dinner and sleep and shower and laundry for about 550 folks. Our base camp ended with that total at 550, very different from the base camps north of here that were in the 2,000 range. Thank the Lord we didn't have to do that. Our base camp ended with that 550, including line-side personnel, but also a great number of right-of-way personnel. Some were cooperatives from other areas, some were municipalities, and the remainder contractors. When CFEC reconnected the first homes after the flood, in which we had some issues on Thursday the 31st, we quickly got Dixie Building and Zoning on the phone. That was followed by another phone call later on Friday, and then on Saturday that morning, Dixie County Building and Zoning Department had the first temporary permitting tents erected and operational in the affected communities. Now, I would not be telling the truth if I told you that the public took to the new process in stride. However, Dixie Building and Zoning officials handled things well, let the process run the course, stood their ground, and now have really set up Suwannee and Horseshoe for the future for decades to come. As hard as hit as Horseshoe and Suwannee was, for the rest of our area, it could have been much worse. I spent some time up in Tri-County and Suwannee Valley Co-op territories and saw many more areas that were similar to the heavy destruction found in Old Town Hamming. This restoration effort did give us great metrics for evaluating just what we might have to tackle in a much stronger storm. While we ended up with approximately 250 broken poles, usually a definer of the extent of the damage, the other co-ops had more than 1,000 and up to 1,500 broken poles. How well this process worked did not surprise me considering the individuals involved. Mr. Leon Wright and staff and Dwayne Cannon, and even Commissioner Hatch jumped in, probably likely due to the fact that he thought it was going to be a lot of fun.
It was.
I have had to work with Dixie County leadership on other issues just as challenging and know that I would go to battle any day with your leadership team. We thank you and them for assisting us in the restoration efforts. Some of it's still continuing, and we look forward to many years of continued collaboration. There's a lot of phrases that I could use to describe Mr. Leon and Mr. Dwayne. Colleagues, cohorts, friends, but really they're brothers. And just wanted to say that. On a final note is that with all of our workers, we experienced no safety issues or incidents as well. There were no downed power lines that ended up being energized, so our system performed as it should. There were two situations where down lines seemed to be energized by incorrectly wired backup generators. Thankfully, no injuries were reported, and we plan on doing much more local messaging and training to inform our members about the proper generation use during storms and related and relative danger that incorrect connections can make for both members and line workers. Again, we thank you for the opportunity to speak. Trust that it is many, many years before we ever have to experience a storm like this again, and thank you for the partnership that exists between Central Florida Electric Co-op and Dixie County. That's appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Neal.
Hold on, Danny.
Hold on.
I'm sorry.
Q&A time.
Yeah. No, I really want to thank you on behalf of the board because the staff you had out in the field, TJ and Billy Wilson, I mean, they outstanding bunch of people. And Tony, yourself, and Jim also, on behalf of the board, thank y'all for everything y'all done. And Leon's staff done a great job. And we got, I'm going to say, we're at 95%, honestly, back up on power. Well, y'all come on, put some boots on some. We had to get them put off. And again, thank y'all very much.
Yes.
Hopefully we don't have to do it anytime soon.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Need a motion to go into public hearing.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Hosting.
Okay.
Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Aye.
Petition by Edward D. Byrne, requesting special exception to be granted as provided.
Can you skip that one? He's not here, and if he comes in beforehand, before whatever, we'll come back to it. Give Jody some time. If that's okay.
For the commissioner, you talking about?
Yeah, for that one.
Yeah.
We'll come back to it. Maybe he'll be here by the end of the meeting.
Petition by Mike Johnson requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.3.5 Special Exceptions of Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in an environmental sensitive area, ESA Zone and District, in accordance with the petition dated 7/4/2023, located on the property described as follows: Dixie County Parcel 01-10-13-4512-00-00-0840. 537 Northeast 791 Street, Old Town, Florida, 32680, Commission District 2, Mr. Daniel Wood. No opposition on our end.
Yeah. Any opposition here? You want to speak?
Yep.
State your name.
Pam Harshman. I'm a next door neighbor, 505 Northeast, 790 First Street, Old Town. And we know nothing about this other than he has come in and introduced ourselves when he first moved in. Land has been completely cleared. We don't know if this is a travel trailer coming in, if it's a rental coming in, or what. We've had down the street a rental travel trailer that ended up being a meth lab that blew up, and we're just kind of Leary, we don't want this next door to us and all of our animals. It's kind of scary with, you know,
not knowing what's going on, and so we're in opposition until we know what's going on. I know it's his property and they can do what they want, but clearing everything and then just throwing the travel trailer on there when everybody's taking pride in their homes and you've got this and you throw a rental on there and we don't know if it's a rental or if he's going to live there temporarily while he builds. Originally, he was going to build a home on the back of the property. Then it turned out he was going to do a double-wide mobile home. Then it turned into a single-wide mobile home. Then it was a barn dominium. And this has been going on for 3 years. So,
I do know for a fact he demoed an older single-wide that was out there. And it did start the process of he was going to explore the options of building a house. And it has went from one idea to the next. But this is an RV special exception for personal use. Letters were mailed. We tabled it because of the storm, and we actually reposted signs again just to make sure that it was a fair posting.
So this is for personal use.
It's an RV special
exception. Okay, so that there takes out, if he rents it, then he can shut that down like that.
Is this a temporary RV until he builds or whatever, or is this a permanent, he's just going to live in a camper?
We don't have a set of building permit application right now. This is a special exception application. As long as it's renewed annually, then it would stay.
But by rule, RV is a temporary structure. It's supposed to be there for 6 months and removed. So doesn't mean that the exception will be removed. But they're not, any RV on the special exception by rule is a temporary structure supposed to be on no longer than 6 months.
Okay.
I know y'all gonna say it's happening everywhere. We're very much aware of it. Mr. Leon and Mr. Freeman, really, under Mr. Leon.
Yeah, so it's a camper. They can hook to it, take it down to the springs for one weekend and bring it back, and it's technically been moved.
Okay, so next door on the other side was shut down. They were wanting to put in an RV park.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if we allow an exception for an RV here, then what is to stop that property from selling off lots and everybody wanting exceptions for an RV, to put on an RV, if you set a precedent?
Well, so I know the piece of property that you're talking about, it was a controversial issue.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with this location.
Right.
Because we used to live down Purvis Landing. And so the minimum lot size in that area is 5 acres. They'd have to go in there and break that property into 5 acre pieces. It'd have to be platted. It'd be subdivision rules. I think that's a whole separate item in itself. Particular.
But is this setting a precedent by allowing
this?
No, because
you got probably 15 within driving distance of this one right now in that same area.
Okay. I don't get out. I've got a farm ground, so I don't get out and about.
I think this fellow's just, it's temporary. I truly believe it'll be a temporary thing. It might be a year, but he's not going to stay.
Like I said, it's been going for 3 years.
Yeah,
three years,
I know,
so
but I think a few things have changed on this, and I think it's temporary, honestly. I really do.
And please understand, I don't get to vote on this. I just thought it's a good word. Don't be mad at me.
I have not got to speak to Mr. Mike, and I would really feel better if I would like to talk to him. So I'm going to make a motion to table this.
Is that a
motion for Mr. Wood to table it, and second Mr. Osteen, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't see you on the mail out list, and we mailed the agent
probably
one of
his
letters.
We did get it.
Oh,
they got the first one.
We got the very
first
one, but it was never posted on the first one. the weather posted in the property before the storm. It wasn't posted before.
We tabled everything. We reposted everything.
Right. It
and
was reposted.
That. Yep. Okay.
Yes. We just didn't get a second letter. That's okay. We went out and looked at that.
Yeah, no. It was already advertised in the paper. And what was your last name again?
Harshman.
Harshman. Well, let's see. Yep. Okay.
Thank you.
And that'll be tabled to the next meeting. And what's the date on that next meeting? 10-5.
In the morning.
10 a.m.
10 a.m.
You found my mom, man.
I probably misspelled your name, but I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I want to dig down the house, though. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
I'll be in contact.
A petition by Benjamin P. Lundquist requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.3.5, Special Exceptions of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations, to permit one recreational vehicle in an environmental sensitive area, ESA, zoning district, in accordance with a petition dated 7/28/2023, to be located on the property described as follows: Dixie County Parcel 26. 09-13-44-62-00-00-60-519 Northeast, 35 Avenue, Old Town, Florida, 32680, Commission District 2, Mr. Daniel Wood.
Any opposition?
We don't have any.
Any opposition here? Any opposition on the phone?
No.
Y'all heard anything?
No, sir.
Motion to approve.
Got a motion, Mr. Wood, to approve.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Petition by Robert Roth requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.4.5, Special Exceptions of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations, to permit one recreational vehicle in an agricultural zone district in accordance with a petition dated 8/2/2023 to be located on the property described as follows: Dixie County Parcel Number 11-10-13-4548-00-00-01-90-71 Northeast, 173rd Avenue, Old Town, Florida, 32680, Commission District 2, Mr. Daniel.
Any opposition?
We have none.
Any opposition here? Any on the phone?
I have not heard that.
Motion to approve.
Got a motion, Mr. Wood, to approve.
Second.
Mr. Hatch, all in favor?
Aye.
Petition by Juan Marilla Lazo requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.7.5, Special Exceptions of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations, to permit one recreation vehicle in the Residential Single Family Mobile Home, RSF, MH, Zoning District, in accordance with a petition dated 8/11/2023, located on the property described as follows: Dixie County Parcel Number 30-13-12-00-00-34-95-00-00-58 Southeast 199 Street, Old Town, Florida, 32680, Commission District 3, Mr. Mark Hatch.
Any opposition?
Yes.
Are they here? All right. Come up here and talk to us.
Oh, no. Where the...
Oh, you're hung up? No.
Y'all the ones that's wanting it.
Put your hand down.
I'm opposed to him. The person
who's
opposing.
Who's the opposition?
Hashel Perry.
Y'all know Hashel Perry?
I know he's, I think he's the last person. Yeah. He was clapping when we took out the ice road that was there.
We actually cleaned the street up. It was a 1942 home that was falling. Luckily, we took it apart.
Well, you've probably seen it.
We had it hauled away, paid to get it hauled away. Thank God we did it, because if the hurricane would have come, it would have landed on the neighbor next door. Mm-hmm. Literally, it was rotted.
But everybody there was clapping, and they were taking
the
it.
The day we cleaned the lot,
they're not clapping now.
Then we get this thing that the,
one of the last neighbors is like complaining, or what?
I called him.
Somebody built this up real nice. Yeah.
What is y'all's plan? What is y'all's plan?
We want to build, this is, will be our third house there.
And there.
We just sold one July 1st. And
that was our second house, and now we want to build another one there.
I wanted to move closer and closer to the Gulf.
Yeah.
So I started at the beginning, my first house, then moved to by the store, and now I bought one on Barbary Island, which is the mass island on 349 where it ends.
Mm-hmm.
So we took that old nasty house out of there, cleaned up the lot, and the hurricane came through. So I need to go back in there with my tractor, clean all that up again, and I need to have a place to stay overnight.
Yeah, we just
on the weekends. That's what we need.
We just put 15 truckloads of dirt.
So y'all plan on building a house there?
Yes.
What time frame are you looking at?
Well, probably about a year.
About a year.
Especially now.
Because we own property in High Springs.
Our place got hit pretty bad up there, too.
Yeah.
So everything is thousands of dollars.
Y'all got any house plans?
No. So we want to put a double wide, a mobile home on the stove.
Yeah, of course. We're actually planning to have an architect do it for us and see if they can build it to South Florida specs.
We talked to the man that's building one behind us, and he was going to get with us, and we were going to compare prices with the mobile home and with...
And with the stick home.
What's he talking about, Walter?
Yeah, they're building a house right behind us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I talked to the owner, and I talked to the contractor, and we were supposed to get together, but all this hurricane thing happened, so I haven't been able to get together with him, but...
We want to do something nice on that street, you know?
It's a beautiful lot.
Yeah. But from now on, I need a place to stay so I can work on the weekends out.
Which else demo...
No, it was a house. The actual bed was coming down.
Had a hole in the roof, had a hole in the floor from just sitting there. I probably was for sale for many years. Nobody wanted to buy it. That was
what. But, you know, I have other visions. You build it up, you know, fix it, clean it.
Is they talking about there on Greg's spot, the left road, this side, you know, like across from the park there?
Yeah. Across from the city center.
That old place that was up there for Pepper Institute or whatever.
Yes. That's it.
You know where they
were? It was right on the side. It's on the other side of the civic center. It was just the house is just all rotted and falling apart.
I know where you're talking about.
Pepper. That's who we bought it from.
Yeah.
What are y'all looking at, honestly, moving in there whenever this is approved? How long?
No, we're not going to live there. We have a house.
Well, how long before you pull your camper in there is my question.
Oh, about a year.
No, the camper. The camper. We got to clean it up again. Because after we had it all level and kind of decent.
Okay, so it's going to be a couple of weeks.
More.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what I want to do. I want y'all to talk to this man.
I
want to talk to him too.
We left messages and everything. He doesn't want to return our call.
If he don't return my call, I ain't going to worry about it.
Exactly.
It's that simple. So I'm going to make a motion to table this. I want y'all to talk to the, what's the name, Leon Hirschman? Y'all talk to him. I'll talk to him also.
Yeah,
but this is one that I hate tabling. I should just approve it.
Mm-hmm.
But
I've left work for, I'm sorry, but I work for the City of High Springs. I've left work. I'm the grinder rebuilder for the city, so every hour I miss out of there,
There you go,
I got 400 hours of PTO time. I have to ask permission just to leave there because I'm the only rebuilder, and I do
lift the maintenance station.
So I'm the guy that does that. It's the second time I come out here, and I'm going, oh, my God.
Mm-mm.
Actually, when we did the application for the water over in 20, when the guy saw, he says, "You want a job?"
I'm gonna make a motion to table it until y'all talk to them. Let me talk to them also. I like y'all's plans. If he don't return my phone call, I'm not gonna worry about it. Y'all try to talk to Mr. Hirschman, and let's work this out where we don't have no opposition. That's normally what we do.
Okay.
So
2 weeks time. When was it? 10-5?
Was that
10-5?
All of that is, that's a morning meeting at 10 a.m.
That's fine.
I'll work for him.
y'all give me their number also and Hirschman, and I'll call y'all also. I'll be in 20 probably. 20 times 29 a weekend, so I'll go down there and look at it myself.
Okay.
But
know, full of mock, and it has other people's
can't imagine
on
that.
It.
Yeah. I can't go under my tractor. I'll get stuck. So they're mock.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to table it.
Second,
Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye. So he needs
that number? Leon probably got it already.
Got
it? Yeah. So you'll get in touch
with us.
Yes. Okay, thank
you,
sir.
Thank you.
I appreciate
it.
Y'all have a good day.
Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Don't get me wrong. From our stance, they removed the pre-formed structure from the floodplain.
Yeah.
That's one less house to pick up later.
Yeah.
Mr. Sullivan.
A petition by Andrew and Kathleen
Orlo.
I almost said it. Requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in section 4.3.5, special exception of the County Land Development Regulation to permit one recreation vehicle in an environmental sensitive area, ESA, zoning district, in accordance with the petition dated 8/15/2023. Located on the property described as follows: Dix County Parcel Number 36-10-13-00-5648-7800 Southeast Highway 317, Old Town, Florida 32680, District 2.
Any opposition on this one?
No, sir.
Any opposition here? Any opposition on the phone?
No.
Why?
I haven't heard nothing.
Motion to approve.
Got a motion to approve, Mr. Wood. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Yes,
sir. Petition by Charles Allison, and agent is Carlos Ray, located on the property described as follows: East County Parcel Number 30-13-12-3596-00-03-01-10. 324 Southeast 218th Street, Old Town, Florida 32680, to request a variance for the reduction of the side setbacks from 10 feet to 1 feet on the east side for the construction of a new boat shed by the petition dated 8/3/2023, which is located within section 4.7.7 residential single family mobile home, subparagraph 2 of the Dix County Land Development Regulations, in accordance with section 12.3 procedures, Mission District 3.
Any opposition?
No.
Anyone here opposes? Anyone on the phone? Yes, y'all heard anything?
No, sir.
Mm-hmm. Motion to approve.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to approve. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
You want me to keep going to the comp plan, or do you want to circle back to Mr. Jones?
Let's circle back, I guess. And then
I'm going back.
Is that person here, this man?
Yep, he's right there.
You're here?
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Go ahead.
So, a petition by Edward Byrne?
Byrne, yes, sir.
Requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in section 4.3.5, special exception of the Dix County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in the environmental sensitive area, ESA zoning district, in accordance with the petition dated 7/17/2023, located on the property described as follows: Dix County Parcel Number 12-9-13-4030-00-12-01-70 at 427 Northeast 830th Street, Old Town, Florida, 32680, Commission District 1, Mr. Jerry Stevenson.
Any opposition at all?
None from us.
Anyone here opposing?
Anybody on the phone?
What?
Motion to approve.
We've got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to approve. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Yes, made the motion?
Oh, Mr. Hatch.
I was going to be a little bit hard to mark, but you know, with it.
All right, so we have a comp plan amendment.
What is that?
And it's a CPA 23-01 application by Josiah D. RONCO as an agent for OHM Springs Incorporated to amend the future land use map of the comp plan by changing the future land use classification from residential low density less than or equal to 2 dwelling units per acre to commercial on the property described as follows. From the
North Central Florida
Planning Council, and
was it advertised with a partial number?
No, they done the advertising on this.
But you don't know if it was advertised with a partial number or not?
They put the legal description.
The whole legal description.
Because without the partial number, you can't approve it, can you?
Yeah.
Because it's got all the descriptions right there.
Matter of fact, just so you know, we've had issues before, not with the county, but in private practice, with using parcel numbers. They are subject to change occasionally. Legal is preferred, not necessarily for our convenience.
We didn't have parcel numbers, so we didn't have to read the whole thing before.
Read away.
So parcel landline, section 24, township 10, south range 13, east Dixie County, Florida, being more particular described as followed. Lot 14 is Greenwood Estate, an unrecorded subdivision, being more particular described as follows. Commencing at the northwest corner of the government lot 8, thence north 11 degrees 15 feet 26 inches west at 34.48 feet to the southerly right-of-way line of U.S. Highway 19, 27A, 98, State Road 55, thence south at 54 degrees 48 feet 36 inches east 22.46 feet along the southerly right-of-way line of said U.S. Highway 19, 27A, 98, State Road 55, to the point of the beginning, then south 00 degrees 08.49 east at 367.66 feet, then south at 54 degrees 48.36 east at 76.99 feet, then north 75 degrees 11.24 east 300 feet to the southerly right-of-way line of said U.S. Highway 19, 27A, 98, State Road 55, thence north at 54.48.36 west at 289.30 feet along the southerly right-of-way of said U.S. Highway 19, 27A, 98, State Road 55 to the point of the beginning, containing 1.24 acres more or less. Now, that's that little piece of property.
19, 55.
Nope, before you get to the old Dixie Music Center, the little dirt road that runs back in there.
Put a new chain link fence up on it?
No. Right there, between the chain link and the music center now.
But anyway, it wasn't on the zoning map, so that's why you got an application. There's a current business owner, I believe, who's interested in that piece of property, but they need it on commercial.
Ain't it commercial on both sides of him already?
Yeah,
the whole way around it.
Yeah, it's right on US 19.
Oh,
I mean, it's right there.
Motion.
Got a motion to approve, Mr. Wood. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye. And so now you have applications and then the official zoning atlas of the property, and it's zoning 23-03, an application by Josiah V. RONCO as an agent for OHM Springs to amend the official zoning atlas of the land development regulations by changing the zoning district from residential mixed single family mobile home 1 RSF MH to commercial intensive PI on the property described as follows in the same previous reading before.
Motion.
Got a motion to approve, Mr. Wood.
Second,
Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye.
Now I need the motion to go back to the board.
Motion.
A motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second,
Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
The resolution 2023-30.
Mr. Edward.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second,
Mr. Wood. All in favor?
And then we table the next one. And then the Resolution 2023-84.
Yep. Motion.
Is that a motion, Mr. Wood?
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye. Resolution 2023-85.
Motion.
Is that a motion, Mr. Hatch? Second. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
The next one was tabled.
Okay.
Resolution 2023-87.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Wood.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye. Resolution 2023-88.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Wood.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution 2023-89.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye. And Resolution 2023-90.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor? Motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye.
Ordinance 2023-08, ordinance of Dixon County, Florida, amending the official zoning atlas, Dixon County Land Development Regulations as amended, granting an amendment rezoning of less than 10 complete acres of land pursuant to an application Z-2303 by the property owner of said acreage, providing for rezoning from residential mixed family mobile home, RSF-MH1, to commercial intensive CI of certain lands within the unincorporated area of Dixon County, Florida, providing severability, repealing all ordinances in conflict, and providing an effective date. Again, of Josiah Franco as agent for OPM Springs, Inc.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor? Mr. Bailey.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Start getting back to normal a little bit here soon. I'll quickly go through a few projects here. 362nd, 364th construction has begun on that project. We met with the CEI team on that. And county staff did remove six side drains. We're putting culverts under the driveways on that project for future drainage.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have conflicts with benches, very tight right away in there. So after discussion with everyone, we removed six of those to avoid those property fences that are conflicting with it. I would like to remind the board that the plan was for the board to come back later on and construct roadside swales out there to provide drainage in the future on that. So just to remind you about that. We did have a sinkhole open up out there. The contractor did do a repair on that. So as far as I know, that's holding up.
Correct. Yep. Mm-hmm. The material, contractor handled it, and we monitored it for a couple of days now. Locker and Associate has, and we haven't had any issues.
Okay. We've had those from time to time. Mr. Wood, I'm sure you've seen them here yourself.
Oh, yes, sir.
The board's dealt with them in the past, so I think we've gotten pretty good, at least for the smaller ones. EOC expansion, we're working through the mechanical structural designs right now. We're getting the Swanee River submittal ready. Old Town, we submitted our 10-2 on that. We did send our civil plans to Leon, so we get some review comment from the building official as far as that goes. We've gotten the all the other civil items done except for the water well and the water system. So we're working through that design to allow for, obviously, the filling of the trucks and service to the building and all that. So the septic system's already been designed and put into the plans. So that's where we're at with that. Which brings me to the library. And I got a handout here.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
This seems to be like a loose thread on the sweater. Every time we pull on something, it seems like we open up another.
Quit pulling.
Hold on now.
What I just handed you was a image of the library overhead. What that shows is the delineation from the property appraiser's site as far as the delineation of those individual units. The subway is to the left there. You see the HVAC system labeled there that serves subway. You also see that color of that roof is a lot brighter than the remaining building there. That was recently redone. You go to the right there, and then you have the library site. There, kind of midway on the left, you see HVAC system number 2. You see that it's across the actual property line. From everything we've been able to tell, that system penetrates the roof and the wall on the subway side of the property line there. There's HVAC system number 3, which has been abandoned, and it appears to also cross the line. And then we have HVAC system number 1 in the middle there that is within the unit. After reviewing all of that and working through the repair costs, if we take the 2 HVAC systems that are still in service and we bring them to the ground, our current estimated cost on that work and redoing the roof is $183,500. If we leave them on the roof and just replace them where they're at and repair the roof, we're at $153,500. So basically moving them down is going to cost about another $30,000 to get them down on the ground. And then rerun, redo all the duct work's got to be done to service that. Just want confirmation that the board still wants to go in that direction. We think that there is, let's say, $30,000 if we just replace them up there where they're at. Depending on how long you want to keep that part of the building, you may not ever get your money back out of it.
I've got a question. How much would a whole new building library cost? Just ballpark figure. That's roughly $200,000 right here.
The new library is probably going to cost you somewhere about $1 million.
Oh, we need to fix this.
Yeah, we need to fix it.
The problem with the new library, it comes with a new parking lot.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about that.
And we did talk about some appropriations funds. I can't remember.
Those were submitted. The board did authorize that, and those were made for a new library. You recall we talked about the site out here close to the high school.
Mm-hmm.
So we did include that tossed in there.
We could park on the grass for a while, I reckon.
Yeah.
Jay, what's another alternative besides them air conditioners? Will them splits work on it or not inside the building?
A split system would be our second. If you want to move them off the top, we think the split system would probably be the next best thing. We're going to go all the way outside because then we could reduce our amount of work. The problem with that is we got to find a spot inside that would not necessarily disrupt. We might build a closet potentially in there. But if we could put it inside, we'd be a lot better off.
I think the splits is the way to go. I mean, if we're going to turn appropriations in for a new library, which we're going to do it, and without my mind, we're going to do that and get that, and then get that mess off the roof. And just besides that, according to this, some of it's on the fire shop, smoke shop.
Yep.
And this one over here, it's on top of the subway. So we're actually encroaching off of our building, correct?
Yes, sir. Which part of the... What we need, the county will need to acquire for us to be able to do that work is we're going to need some sort of construction easement right of entry because we're going to be actually on private property doing work here.
Well, you can handle that. That's why you get paid to do it.
We'll be glad to prepare the documents.
I mean, if we're pulling them off and then putting them right back up there, for $30,000 is really it's a no-brainer to do that, honestly. You'll get more life out of your roof.
Without them up there.
So the other side to that is there's pros and cons to everything. If you put them on the ground, then you got some of our other constituents that will still. Right?
Yes.
And there's not, Mr. Chairman, there's not a lot of room in the back of the library for
put them
on the ground either. I mean, we might have to make some racks and stack
yeah,
them up.
So if we go there and we have to build a closet, put mini splits in there, I would think that would honestly be the way to go. And then if we ever do get to sell or lease that building out, we got a pretty good roof on it for a long period of time with air conditioners that's contained inside.
I'm not talking about mini splits. We would have to connect to your existing duct system in there, but we can do it right there at those locations where they're at.
Right.
They would still have to be a system on the ground outside.
That would be a conditioning unit that sits outside.
Two separate compressor
in
your inside air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think that would probably be a good route to go look at because we got to get these units off of the private property.
Exactly.
That's a must. But it just don't make no sense to why we would put a brand new roof in it and then drill a damn hole in it. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a weatherhead. Why do you do a weatherhead in a brand new roof? Never makes no sense to me.
They can always build racks for cages around the units, too.
Well, there would be new curbs and all that. But typically, I mean, it's still done. That's not an unusual construction technique.
That's $180,000 technique right now.
The less penetrations you have on your roof, the less opportunity you've got for leaks. Yes, sir.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to go to split.
Boy, myself.
You'd like to use for taking everything off the roof.
Yeah.
I'll just tell us the direction.
Take them off the roof.
Take them off the roof and do the split.
So we need a.
Do we need a motion?
We'll need to figure out a closet inside to be able to put these units. They don't have to be together because they're separate now. But
how big a closet are you looking at? A 6x6? Yeah. If that big?
That should be fine. So
$30,000
more.
$30,000
take them off.
But what about this?
4 foot by 4 foot, Leon?
You
don't know.
About 5 tons.
I have to get by like a 4x6 or something like that.
So 6x6 will give you room to put brooms and mops and vacuum cleaners and all that in it, using the storage unit.
I prefer not to do that.
Making Leon quit.
If we don't do something, we've got to build them anyway to put buckets and towels in it.
I don't care if they weren't hurting down the whole line.
Well, Dwayne claimed it as a primary resident.
I tried.
That's the route I'd like to take myself, but I'm just one of four.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Let's go that route.
I agree. Do we need a motion?
Closer.
Okay. Gave him direction.
That works. 95th and 97th, that's our CDBG project. The environmental review has been completed and submitted. We're right now just waiting on DEO to approve that. That takes, unfortunately, takes them a few months to work through that. And then once that's complete, then we can move into our next steps on that.
We're getting closer, though.
Yes, sir. Calchairs Road, we're working on 90% plans. A couple of meetings ago, after the meeting, I met Commissioner Wood and Commissioner Stevenson out there. We went and looked at culverts and drainage out there.
Is he still there?
They're still there.
Love him.
Oh, is he still there? No, they made it through the woods. I dropped them off on the 19th. They took off. So. Commissioner Wood, we have what we did. After that, we did investigate, and we did actually find a culvert under the road.
Really?
Yes, sir. Huh. Now, it had been buried. It wasn't really functioning, obviously, but we were able to work through it with some of our detection equipment and actually found the culvert. Not too far from where we were looking for.
Our fast pierce hodges?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I told you it was a culvert.
So we've finished. Take that culvert out, obviously, and put in a brand new culvert and restore that drainage through there for that. County Road 340, DOT's done their field review. We've worked with the contractor, developed a punch list, so the contractor's working through all of that. All of the grants and appropriations that we talked about were submitted to the county. Dwayne's office has that. We did put the seawall in as a result of this storm. We're contacting USDA, who funded the last phase, to see if we can also maybe get the other side done under that program this time. No comment?
I'm going to leave you alone on that one. I've commented a bunch on that. So.
When will they get back to Willow Hole?
They
were supposed to start that like 3 weeks ago.
So,
the lap project.
So we had an update last week, and they were supposed to get back out there today, but they canceled the update meeting today, and I haven't heard the contractor. But they have so many days. I mean, the contractor is in his time of service, so he could do it on the last day of the contract. And so we're waiting on the contractor.
That's a lap project.
It is, yes, sir.
All it is that commissioner by the state.
Pavement and signing marking.
Yeah.
Greg, we did stay on the seawall. It's the three phase. We're looking at a three phase on that, correct? So where are you looking at phase one on that? Where phase two and phase three?
We had the going out as we up in the town. We went as far as we could go for that first phase.
So you're going to start there? Jackie Shaw turn off? Yes. Coming in town going that way?
No one.
Not going. Check and see because the palm trees is there versus the guardrail, and the speed limit had a lot to do with that with the palm trees. But if we have to do some sort of protection on that seawall, I'd like to kind of stick with the palm tree on that side also.
Same look we got on the outside. Yes, sir. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Locklear.
You ready, Chair? I'll be brief. Just a few little updates here. As Greg was saying, on Palm Drive, had a few little hiccups there, but I think we bunch came out and I think we got those straightened out. plan is to start asphalting tomorrow, so that's good. on 351 design, we finished the 90% plans, and we've finalizing the cost analysis associated with that, so I think few more weeks we'll be submitting that to DOT, so that's on track. Got a number of different jobs going on related to Stormwater Task Force. One of the biggest ones is the Fulster Canal. I think I mentioned last time that we try to get out there with GPS equipment to get too much overburden.
For the survey.
So what we've done is we had to go back to a conventional land surveyor. That's all we could do. We tried many times. So we've got flowers. I was going to get out there, and then the storm came, and that delayed them. So, but I think they're ready to get going, maybe even this week. So I'll find out. That should be probably about a three-week process to get all that done pretty good length of the canal. But once we have that, then we can get the designing and modeling that. So that's all I've got, unless y'all have something for me.
Have they said anything about the guardrail, the non-existing guardrail on that road?
I have not heard about it, but I can.
Was it about a mile and two-tenths or something like that without guardrails? Is that about right, Dwayne?
It's a little over a mile, but what discussion I've had previously, and when we submitted application with DOT, they looked at it and they questioned it, but then they looked at maybe the speed limit there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why the speed limit doesn't get to 55 until after you pass the sawmill, in order to not require guardrail or not require actual.
I'll verify that, but
yeah.
I'll get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. All right. Unless y'all got anything else for me, that's all I got.
Thank you.
Miss Cindy's not here.
She stay with the group.
Okay.
Mr. Freeman.
He's not here. Mr. Chauncey's not here. Tim's not here. Mr. Leon, you got anything else?
Yeah, I got two things. I just need to document. One, historically, we've always done a no permit cost on storm-related damages, and this is the first time I've been in the board meeting with you, so I just need you to get the model approved
for
that.
Motion for waiving storm.
Motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor.
And the second item that I want to bring up is...
For clarity, they still have to get the permit.
Yes.
But there's no cost associated with the permit.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's always historically been...
Understood. Yep.
Waived them, and of course...
How's it doing?
That was the furthest thing from my mind. Demo permits. I think we should do away with the permit fee for them if somebody wants to.
All the time.
Yeah, I think we should just go to, if they want to demo it, we just document it for them and let them demo it.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Hatch. Discussion.
Can they do them online?
Yeah, they can.
What permits can't we do online?
Well, owner-builder permits require them to come in and sign, and that's a statutory item. We can't get around that. That
mm-hmm.
protects from unlicensed activity taking place.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it, though. Okay.
Anything else can be done online?
I've been encouraging the demo permits a bunch.
Well,
are you getting any?
Yes, a pile of them. We're not picking up anything that was elevated.
Right.
We're not picking them up out of the canals and the roads. Everything that was down on the ground is what you're picking up. So,
that's funny.
If they want to remove one of those structures, then by all means. And,
all right, we got a motion and a second.
Before you does that affect impact fees? Because if you get a demo permit, you can use the impact fees from that for the next homes that you build.
Right.
That's what we're doing is we're documenting that for them later on, that there was a structure there.
Okay.
Yeah. Some of them have reached the point where they have no value, so they're being removed from the property appraiser's card anyway.
But still exempt from the impact because they have
a
benefit for us.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
That's all I had for tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Leon.
That's, if you don't have enough for me, I'd like to be excused.
Excused. Appreciate you.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Brown.
Is that stuff over there? Yeah. I couldn't see you for that pole.
All right, well, some business we have to take care of. We've all been extremely busy. I'll try to be very brief. You haven't set your budget before. I've been last month. We had collected $21,455.37 over there. We still have this third day, and I was told today it's around 45. So we're going to have a little more money for Ms. Brenda to file somewhere in the near future, I hope. So that's a good thing that we have reached and surpassed our projected budget. This is Ms. Lisa's first year doing it all by herself, and it took her a few months to get everything organized, and I think now she has a good process, and she's moving forward with that. Holidays, they came out a few weeks ago. As always, we have a couple that we're always affected with our crews on shift. One of them this year is Christmas. It's on a Sunday, Monday. The board gave Monday, Tuesday, so we would like to recognize the 24th, 25th as Christmas for our road staff. And also Easter, we recognize Good Friday for the daily crews, but we need to recognize Easter itself properly, if that's okay with the board.
Need a motion?
Yes.
Motion. Got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Aye.
Affects pay.
That's all my handouts I have. Since we have finalized the budget, part of our budget was to try to purchase two ambulances this coming year. As you know, Station 4, Mr. Bailey just spoke about, is coming online this year. It is our plans to staff that. We're already working on the funding for that for this year's budget. We also are hiring three additional personnel in that budget this year to add to our Engine 1, and it will become similar to what we have in Old Town with an engine-ambulance combination situation. With that being said, we have enough trucks right now with the eight that we have to do that, but that leaves us with zero spares. And then when we re-chassis one, that leaves us with less than zero spares. So what I would like to do is go ahead and purchase two new apparatus this year to the tune of about $325,500 each, $641,100. I would like to go ahead and move forward with putting in that request due to the problems of getting chassis. Dodge chassis are nearly impossible to come by. We're trying to get two for these new trucks, one for our re-chassis for next year that we do every year, and we're trying to build a brush truck as well. So we're trying to find four chassis, and that's difficult to do. So with board's approval, I would like to move forward with getting those two ordered, and that will keep us in an area where we have a few spares at some breaks. And that is budgeted in our budget.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor.
Thank you, gentlemen. I think that is all that I have. I have some notes here, but it doesn't make any sense to me, so I know it wouldn't be y'all.
You should see ours.
The last thing that I have is to turn this over to Chief Garner for a few minutes. He has some news, some updates on the storm, and some updates on the cleanup and all that. And I think the truck will update as well. I know you don't
hear that. Lord.
Yes. I love the truck will update. But anyway, in front of you, you'll see a packet of paper that's here. Yeah, this
yeah.
is the preliminary findings from Tallahassee weather on the hurricane we just went through. It gives us our time and dates of everything when it all went in, what the maximum speed was. Unofficially right now, we were 2 to 4 foot higher than storm of the century. The issue why we say unofficially, because they're trying to figure out what datum that the measurements were taken in 93. The individuals that were in office in 93 are no longer there or alive. So they're having some issues on that event. But if we can say we have one good thing about this storm, it come in on a low tide. If it would have come in 6 hours earlier or 6 hours later, we would have had roughly about 3 to 4 foot more storm surge than what we had. So that is in front of you. Like I said, this is the synopsis of it. I do have a 150-page document that I can give you all if you really want to read it. It breaks down all the wind speeds throughout the whole storm, all the way through Tallahassee's broadcast area, which goes all the way up into Bainbridge, Georgia, and all the way over to counties in Alabama. So, yes, sir.
Do you have a wind speed, a top wind speed that we received?
72, is that what I told you, Darren? I don't have it in front of me. I want to say it's roughly 72 to 74 in Horseshoe, was the same wind.
No,
yeah, but I'm talking about for us itself here, I want to say in Horseshoe was 72 to 74. I'll get you those. That.
How about how it was in Swanee and Horseshoe?
The only reason I can tell you what it was in Horseshoe is we have a weather stem system down there. Swanee is done by radar, and same thing with the other areas. It's all done by what we had. We're in the process of rebuilding that system at 10 foot of storm surge and 70 plus mile an hour winds. The antenna, and we sort of fell over with the storm surge along with our canopies for at the park, the restrooms and everything else they left. So, all right, talk about debris. You all know we've been having some issues with the Swanee Horseshoe and Gina sites and some of our sites in town, reference C&D. Well, this morning we had two trucks show up that are picking the C&D up. We asked for five. They sent me two this morning, and three will be here at 8 o'clock in the morning. Those three were loaded, so they couldn't leave with the other two coming in. They are picking all the C&D up for 30 days from those two sites and hauling it straight to Greenville.
Everybody's down there. Two folks are down there today.
Okay. With that being said, they're also picking up the tipping fees. That contract is.
Mm-hmm. To the tune of roughly
that 30-day period is roughly about $1,100,000. $1.1 million, somewhere right in there, with the tipping fees and all. So that is money that the county does not have to pay. The state's picked up that along with that contractor. So as of right now, that is just the C&D is all they're picking up. So you'll see those trucks. They're averaging about, I think when they talk to their turnaround, they're going to try to average two trips a day because it's a 3-hour turnaround from the time they get to Horseshoe, load, and then it's an hour plus there to unload and an hour plus back. So they're going to try to average two trips a day. And whether they load in the morning and they be there daylight when the gates are still open or how they work it, I told them I didn't care as long as the debris left. But as far as the roadside debris now, with that, we have, as of this morning, we have the debris trucks. We have 12 debris trucks in county working, and we have 8 bucket tree crews working, and those are certified trucks. Throughout the county, when the contract is fully operational, they will have the 25 truck, the 25 and 15. So they'll have 25 of the debris trucks on ground and then 15 tree trimming crews. That's what their contract stands for. With that, as of how many days we've been with them. 5 days they've been working. They picked up 8,458 cubic yards of vegetative debris. So far, that was right before this. At 5 o'clock, I got that count. There's some C&D in there. They're roughly, I want to say, 100-something cubic yards of C&D that they pick up on the side of the highway. It's not much.
That's more than what we have on some of our vegetative sites.
So that's
they didn't work either. They got here late. They had just a few hours.
And they only had two to three trucks the first day.
They've been increasing, nearly doubling every day. So.
Now, when I say the trucks, they're certified. They have to come in. They get to a staging area. Somebody goes in on a state person, goes in, measures the truck, certifies that, okay, it is a 20-yard truck, or 50-yard truck, whatever it is. And then that's how they keep track. So that's where we're at there. The contract is for 120 days. Hopefully it won't take that long, but I know that they are working every day. I know they're working 7 days a week on it. They're picking those up. Chief Brown did mention about a tropical update. There is one off the Jacksonville coast right now that they're looking at. It's got roughly about a 30-40% chance within the next 7 days of forming, but I think that's going to just give them, that East Coast, some beach erosion more than what they received off of Lee. But there is one coming off of Africa right now that is relatively low in its path, similar to the way this one was, when we just went through. So just to give you all a heads up on it, we are watching it also. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I don't have anything else. Y'all have anything from me?
Where are we at with the storm debris that's in the canals?
That contract has been issued from DEP. We have not seen the contract. A company called Ashbrit has received the contract.
We have a place DEP approved for them to put that stuff in?
They are working on it right now because of the fact of our sites are totally full.
Mm-hmm.
So they're working on trying to figure that out. But all of the, that is a state-run mission on that side, and they start when they want to start.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, pretty much as soon as they find a final resting spot for it, that's when they'll go.
Okay. I was just going to ask you, how long do you think they would start, and you just answer that?
Hopefully they'll start very soon, as soon as they find a spot where they can offload the debris, and then it'll be similar to what we've done here, and they'll transport it strictly straight up to Osceola. I'm hoping that they don't have it too much on the ground sitting there for a long period of time, but you never know. That's up.
All right. What are we going to do with this for local state of emergency? We had a thing where
we have had a, in the past, we've had it where the off weeks, myself or Chief Brown or county manager could call the chairman and say, hey, we are extending it. I've talked to legal. We are working on trying to get it where we can do a blanket one for 42, is it 42 or 45 days? 42 days. And then we have to go back
and redo
and
it.
So I know that the surrounding counties around us are in the same process. So I know during COVID we had the one where myself or Chief Brown could just say, hey, it needs to be extended. We call you or just call one of the board members and say, we're going to extend it till the next board meeting. And then that way we ratify every board meeting, we start ratifying the resolutions to extend the state of emergency. So. And we don't have that right now because we have the minutes, but there was never any resolution done with the previous administration in the courthouse where that was ever. We can't find it, whether it was done or not. So,
can't we make a motion to do that on this particular one? Because next Friday we've got to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of us holding a meeting every week, just give your authority, then y'all figure out the process we want to go on, then y'all do the ordinance and resolution and all that.
Yes,
right?
We can do that. Yes, sir.
So I'm going to make a motion.
Correct?
I'm going to make a motion for Scott or Darren or someone in their department, Dwayne, to do the local state of emergency, and then we'll ratify it in our board meetings.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Ms. Della, I'll be calling you every Friday and letting you know, so get a stack of numbers for me. Because, like I said, this is run at least for another 120 days. I'd like to keep this going as long as we have the debris trucks going.
And, gentlemen, while we're on this subject, I do want to update y'all. I know Mr. Garner shared with y'all that I've been working on it. We have talked to them, and what he's talking about is an exception for weather, which would allow us to run this for a total duration of not more than 42 days. Now, I have talked also to some of our surrounding counties, and some of those have access ordinance in which is addressed in their comprehensive emergency plan, which allows for events such as this that the EOC manager or the county manager along those lines you designate who could actually do what we're basically doing under a motion and a resolution. And it would not have to be addressed as we're having to do now. So those are some of the options that we're looking at to go forward. I anticipate that we will ask to, or they won't come back and ask y'all to amend. We do have an ordinance that addresses emergency management. I think it's about a paragraph, which by no means says anything that we needed to say to do what we need to do. So, again, I know y'all love to hear me read ordinances. I'm trying to, you know, pleasure y'all with that experience. Our favorite 16-page preferably much shorter than, but I do think we do need to look at some of these things that have just been omitted. I mean, there's no other way to say it. It's just been overlooked that we haven't done. Those are some of the things that I don't have enough to do either, so between the smoking and the sex offender, but I do think that is something that we will need to address.
Just for clarification, that is just to extend. That is not to
enact
a local state. That is just to extend
current
local state of emergency. So I just wanted y'all to know that it's not up to the three of us that we're going to do that by doing this by any means, by this ordinance. That's just to extend them.
And the ordinance that one of our surrounding counties has actually even says that the chairman can act or the vice chair can do that as well as the EOC manager and stuff like that, so that they don't have to convene the whole board. They can just call Jamie and say, Jamie, we need to extend it. And Jamie says, fine, we'll move forward, extend it for a week, and then he has to come sign or something along those lines. But I will bring that back for y'all. We are working with the FEMA legal, who is the one that told us about the weather exception.
That was state.
We are trying to work with them. They did send us some documentation, but we still don't have sufficient yet to bring that to you.
Anything else for me?
Thank
you.
Thank you. You ain't got nothing? Are you sure? Miss Gail, she's not here. Miss Holly's not here. Miss Angie? Thank you, Miss Angie. Mr. Cannon.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. If you'll turn to your manager's report, we'll get started with that. Quite a few. Action item number one, I need board approval to approve and select an engineering firm for the design and administration oversight of last year's appropriations of approval sheriff's evidence building project.
Motion.
But I need y'all to select the firm. So you're making a motion to select North Florida?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is that a motion, Mr. Osteen?
Second.
We've got a second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye.
And then what we'll start, I'll get with Mr. Gregg and his firm, and we'll start that with the sheriff's office and start their desired design and all. Number two, I need board approval to execute the contract between the district medical examiner and Dixon County Board of County Commissioners.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Number three, I need board approval to allow Shelly Hatmaker to hold a trunk and treat event at the Waldo Park on October 30th, 2023 from 4 to 7. This event is open to the public.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second,
Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Number four, I would like board direction on the sale of 2.99 acres, approximately 3 acres down in the Juneau. It's located off of Southwest 902 Street. Parcel of land is 26-09-09-0045-40-0590 in the town of Gina. This is was purchased by the Board of County Commissioners in late 2005-2006 era. It was, from my understanding, purchased as for boat parking.
Parking.
Yeah, since then,
the 9 years I've been here, we've never utilized it.
Nope.
My recommendation would be to get an appraisal and
try to get it back on
the tax roll. But that's entirely up there. We did have
a group interested in purchase. They come
to the manager's office. So this is procedure. I need board of direction.
I believe you need to get appraisal, and I want to make a motion to sell it.
The
whole time I've lived over there,
ain't nobody used it.
I've seen one or two cars.
We put millings and all out there in certain places.
The millings, a couple of years ago, we got
donated 2 acres
right by the boat ramp.
Right across from Hootie.
That's fully milled, and we utilize that every single day. I mean, there'll be 60 boats in it.
This one is like a half a mile from the boat ramp.
Right down.
Ain't it a lot of marshland back there?
Yeah, it's a lot of it.
So we got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
I seconded it already.
And you seconded it?
Yeah.
did I say seconded?
No.
Okay, well, I missed that. I'm sorry. Now we're in discussion.
To get an appraisal.
We're in discussion.
To get an appraisal, right?
Yes, appraisal.
I'll bring the appraisal back to you.
Thank Any you. More discussion?
No.
Are you sure? We got a motion. We got a motion in a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Number five, I need board approval for the Anti-Drug Coalition to hold an overdose awareness event on the courthouse steps on September 28th at 6:30 p.m.
Motion. Got a motion, Mr. Wood. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Number six, I need board approval for a Hurricane Recovery Expo to be held at the as an event at the D-Track on October 29th from 1 to 4.
Motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Number seven, I need board approval for the North Central Florida Region Planning Council agreement between Dixie County and the Planning Council for the Local Government Comprehensive Planning Services, FY 2024.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Wood.
I don't like them. I don't like the way, I don't like their service, and I wish Leon was still here, because I done wanted to fire him one time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I ain't crazy about renewing a contract.
No. Okay. For lack of a second.
Yeah.
Yep. We got one motion. Do I hear a second? Denied. Lack of motion.
So you don't want to discontinue the services?
I want to table. We ain't got to make a decision tonight. I want to table it until we have a meeting with them. Because their service is... Somebody said it.
You want a workshop with them? Or you want to
request them to come to the next board meeting?
Tell them to come to the next board
meeting. That's right.
Come to the next board meeting.
Yeah, how much money we pay them?
$13,000. To handle that for
Leon and his dad. Leon can handle it.
Mm-hmm. He's got all the
Yeah, tell him to come to the meeting.
Yeah.
We got a motion from Mr. Hatch
second.
To table it and second Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
To the October meeting.
And if they don't come, then that.
Better meet with Leon free for that meeting because
okay.
It's going to hinge a lot on his.
Number eight, I need board approval for North Central Florida Region Planning Council agreement between Dixie and the Planning Council for the monitoring of hazardous waste for fiscal year 2024.
Where's their reports at? Have you seen them?
They're submitted to us, yes.
We can get all that.
Yeah.
Bring it at the
next meeting. You want them to
motion to table that one, too.
Second.
We got a motion to table that one, too, from Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Number nine, I need board approval to execute a ship rehab reimbursement for a Mary Martini in the amount of $24,906.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second,
Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Number 10, I need board approval to execute the 2020-2023 ship LHAP Local Housing Assistant Plan Resolution 2023-101 is to increase the disaster repair assistance from $10,000 to $25,000.
I'm going to make a motion because I got a telephone call this morning after somebody called somebody. So,
for an explanation?
Yes.
Okay.
So, motion.
Motion to approve it.
Now we'll go and discuss.
Okay, we've got a motion, Mr. Hatch, and the second, Mr. Osteen. Now we're in discussion.
Matt is meeting in Lafayette County tomorrow. And the reason I was against this in our special meeting out there is basically the same thing that he said to me. Because we could eat up a lot of funds there. But I believe that if they go through this program and they go through FEMA too, and FEMA pays for the same job X amount of dollars, that should come off of the ship side of it. If it's a $15,000 roof and FEMA gave them $5,000, that roof should cost us $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my hang-up with this. And Matt's working on that to see if he can – get them results from FEMA also to where we don't pay somebody twice to do one job.
Exactly.
That's right. But the reason it would be if they didn't cover it, I mean, you can't get a re-roof or repair disaster
for $10,000.
Right. But the other side of that is, yeah, the other side of that disaster is its own line item, and I didn't realize that.
Yep. It's tricky for this time.
Yep.
And I don't know if it's for the duration of the state of emergency, or if you could say, hey, you know, the hurricane and all you caused this, let's use this.
Right. Right. So, anyway.
We got a motion and a second. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye. So, number 11 backs up from different fiscal years. So, I need board approved to execute 2023 from fiscal years 2023 to 2026 for the ship LHAP resolution 2023-102 to increase disaster repair assistance from $10,000 to
$25,000.
Motion.
Is that a motion, Mr. Hatch? Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Number 12. I need board approval to execute the construction and maintenance agreement between Dixie County and FDOT on Northeast 272 Avenue, which is Willow Hole Road, from Northeast 592nd Street to Northeast State Road 349.
Motion. Motion, Mr. Wood. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye.
Number 13, I need board approval to execute resolution 2023-100 in support of the construction and maintenance agreement for Northeast 272 Avenue.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Wood. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Number 14, I need board approval of the solid waste debt forgiveness of approximately $11,818 of bad debt. And this was accumulated during the period of us doing the can rentals and never getting those rentals back from all the individuals.
The past 3 years. I mean, this is
not something that's happened. It's actually from January of 23 back to 2019.
And we've toted that through all
of our audits, and this is a cleanup of the books.
Motion. We got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
I need board approval to execute the contract between the State of Florida, the Department of Health, and Dixie County Board for fiscal year 23-24 in the amount of $25,000, and y'all just approve that in this year's budget.
We got a motion,
second.
Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Number 16, I need board approval of a budget amendment for the Supervisor of Elections fiscal year 22-23 budget. It's in the amount of $3,000.
Motion.
A motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Number 17, I need board approval to execute Locker & Associates task order for 22 PLN 32, so vulnerability assessment, peril of flood, and adaptation planning grant project in the amount of $969,202.
Motion.
I'll just reiterate what I told you last time. I'm just a conduit. That's going to the University of Florida.
I'm getting a million dollar job tonight.
I'm going to be involved just to make sure they're doing what we want them to do, but that's it.
Okay. I know I had a motion. Who was it? Mr. Hatch made the motion. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye.
That's all the action items. We have more information items we discussed with Scott and Bill. And Thursday, from 12 to 3 at the EOC, we're going to hold what I call a debriefing. I think the state calls them what?
Hot wash.
A hot wash. And it's to sit down and kind of
go over what happened during the storm
to determine what some pros and cons, what we can do better
in the next state of emergency or next time we go active at the EOC. It's a very good opportunity for us to
figure, you know, what can we do to make our community more resilient and to make us be able to bounce back better. So we'll have all the departments from the Sheriff's Office, Finance, Clerks, Board is welcome to join, but it'll be with all the department heads, everybody that was involved at the EOC. Yep. So that's all the information.
Both cities were invited along with the town of Shining.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. Ms.
Chana? I do have one issue I'd like to bring before the board. We done a special act resolution here a short time back for the town issue and basically for the shrimp bait, which is our restaurant down there. We had went with the directions from the municipality down there and the attorney on the square footage and what type of license was needed. The attorney has reached out to us and said, we don't need what we asked for. We need something amended. So I have a resolution here for the board to amend resolution 2023-50 to correct the type of license from a 4 COPSFS to an 8 COPSFS and to modify the 2,500 square foot requirement to a 1,700 square foot as, you know, to pick basically to mirror what the town of Horseshoe, or excuse me, yes, the town of Horseshoe, I'll get this straight in a minute, is doing on their resolution down there. Before we had, and the information we got was from them, but undoubtedly they have realized that that's not exactly what they need. So if the board is okay with that, we would need a motion and a vote and everything
motion
on it.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Aye. And the first does mention that from the resolution 2023-104.
104.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. And that was a 4-0 vote?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
That I have nothing. Well, let me take that back. I do have another thing I want to ask y'all about. I had the Drug Coalition reach out wanting to know who they needed to contact to get money in regards to the opioid settlement. And I know Darren's been in a meeting about this opioid settlement. He's wanting some of the money and Drug Coalition wants some of it.
Sorry, I wasn't clear.
So, that being said, I don't know of anyone who's actually working with the Department of Children and Family, who was our overseer. That's where our money actually went, and they're supposed to handle the administration of it. Not that I really want to volunteer, but I guess I do want to volunteer to try to coordinate this and see if we can find out what hoops we're going to have to get this money back into our county. It's been awarded to us, but right now we don't have any coming in, to my knowledge, Ms. Brenda. Okay. So we got to figure out how to light the fire to get it from DCF over to us. So if the board's agreeable, I will take that on and try to find out what we've got to do to get that money flowing into our county. It will not be huge amounts, as my understanding. I mean, they're significant, but they're not huge because they're doled out over 18-year period, most of them. That they are enough to fund certain things that would help EMS.
And every little bit helps.
And we'll see if it can go anywhere else also.
I'm good with that.
So that will conclude my business, and I'll give y'all a report on that as I get information.
Thank you, Ms. Shannon.
Mr. Mark?
Ms. Shannon.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry about this blindside, but I need to know a legal opinion on what we can and can't do on private property in a local state of emergency and a state of emergency in two different declares. I've got some people that's needing some assistance, cannot get in and out of their house for trees, roads, whatever. So what can we legally do?
Commissioner, if you recall,
I probably do.
We talked briefly about this a time or two. Most of it, as long as we're running it through the road department, Mr. Cannon, to assess it, and we're not making the decisions on the spot, we can handle the majority of that to get them in and out, because we've got to maintain the accessibility for EMS
and fire
and fire and stuff like this. But again, that needs to go through our procedure, and we did talk about, I think, the last,
this was about the time I came on the board,
we had said that we would run that also through the board meeting for a vote. So we've got some.
Might be the time to say John Smith needs us to look at it
and vote to do it and give Mr. Cannon or our road superintendent the authority to go and assess this, and if it is something that we can do, then. But I believe we did enact that Ms. Dillon?
Mm-hmm. I think that's correct.
Put you on the spot, too, to be able to pull up something from a year ago.
It's just not an individual decision anymore, Mr. Chairman. It would
yes.
be brought, y'all, when y'all brought it to
we
us.
We just brought it up.
We would go and evaluate it. We would first determine what it would take to fix it, give you estimated hours and materials needed to alleviate the issue, the concern. We would also look at it, and then I would also take the opinion of Chief Brown as far as safety. And then we would bring that back to the next board meeting and say we have these four driveways or we have this piece of property and this instance, please vote on, and we'd give our recommendation at the time. That's how it was brought to us, and that's how we handled it. I think there's like 26 of those driveways that we handled like that during the flood.
After it was decided to do that.
So that would be, from my understanding of it, that would be how y'all, the board, needs to handle that.
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
Do we need a motion?
No, it's already in place. I just wanted a refresher on it.
Okay.
That was right before.
Well, if the ambulance and the fire truck can't get there, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Well, he ain't here, so. It's a no-brainer. If you can't get there, you can't get there. Let's fix it.
You got it.
Anything else, Ms. Shayla?
No.
All right, Ms. Hickenbottom.
I just want to thank the team that worked on the budget. We had a really good year. We have come so far since 21 when I came in. In 21 when we came in doing the prior year, we had like 16 or 17 findings on the audit.
Yes.
Last year we had it down to 4, I believe, and this year we are at 1.
Wow.
And that one we are working on, several of the accounts have already been cleared up. I can tell y'all there was like $23,000 in our bond account. $43,000 in our bond account. It was money, some of it was court costs, some of it was money that should have been mailed back to the person that posted it. Never happened. Going back 23 years, and it's down to $5,000?
No, well... I know exactly what should be in there, but I still have to get rid of a little bit. we can only have like $5,777 in there, and we've got about $21,000, so I have to send money to unclaimed.
But we have sent checks out to people that didn't even realize they had money sitting there, and.
$22,000 worth of money went out to people or paid court costs.
Yeah, we're getting there. Everything's getting better. And then I also wanted to publicly thank Leon. He's already gone, but I've told him his mobile permitting was the best idea ever. He's helped so many people in the coastal communities, and he really needs attaboy.
It is dead awesome.
Brenda, do you have anything?
No, not really. You just also have kind of a current
snapshot,
kind of where we are right now. So, but our office is always open.
Is that it? Commissioner items, Mr. Woods?
I don't have anything. Just thank everybody for all their hard work. I mean,
Mr. Hatch?
Same thing. I mean, it's this audit thing been a really big thing for us for many, many years. And I'm glad to see that where we're at today.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was only one finding for the board, too, and that's going to be fixed, too.
In case y'all didn't know, there was only one finding for the board. Jody, Barbie cut me off. No, it's been a long, long, hard battle and a lot of hard work, and I truly appreciate it. But I'm going to say this, too. We're going to get it in June this next time.
That's right. Yep. We're going to have an on-time one.
Yeah, but, no, it's a lot of hard work, and I think y'all, Dwayne's office has done an outstanding job, Scott and Darren's bunch is... It's just been unreal. And Hutch's bunch and Tim's bunch. Everybody's been working hard, and Leon. So anyway, just thank y'all.
That it?
That's it. I want to thank everybody that was involved with the budget. Y'all done a great job. This is the best since I've been on this board that this is smooth, the smoothest I've ever had. And I really appreciate everybody had a hand in it. And I want to thank everybody that's all the county employees, all the volunteers, everybody that's come to help us in this crisis we're in, this hurricane. We have just been really blessed. And I want to personally thank everybody that's came to help us from everywhere, even the citizens, just people coming down from far off to come help our citizens here. That really means a lot, and it's really touched me in a way that, like none before. I mean, it's just really been awesome. And everybody's worked together, and I really thank everyone. That's all I have.
Mr. Stevenson. Figured I'd get a laugh out of that. I want to thank everyone. We've had a wonderful meeting. A lot of laughs. Good time. Especially a thank you, Miss Barbie, and all of her staff, Dwayne, and all of his staff, because it's been a lot of hours. And it's just been about that 5 years since I got first put here. And it was.
A disaster.
Yes, it was.
Have you been contacted by JLAC this year, sir?
Not yet. But I have
been every year, like the department
says, most nervous I get is when I get from Tallahassee to the chairman. If it ain't correct, we will have you up here in front of us. I'm saying, Lord, what Dwayne has got me in. I'll just pass it to Dwayne. He says, it's getting taken. All right, all right. So, thank you, Miss Barbie.
Yep.
Everybody, thank you. All right. Now it's y'all's turn. Nothing. Well, let me rephrase that. I'm working on the fifth year. Well. Is that it? No more comments.
I got one more thing, Mr. Ward, back there. He y'all don't realize what he has done this morning. I'd hate to say a number of what he's got out there on this pavilion that he's let us use, let the town or community, whatever you want to call it, use. And I got down there, I was cleaning up around the sign, and lo and behold, who come there? He come there, back his trailer in there, and just went busting his butt and helping me gather that stuff up and clean up. I publicly thank for the use of that pavilion and all his hard work. Just a giving heart.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Somebody on the phone, Mr. Chairman.
Mary Griffin.
All right. Go ahead, Ms. Griffin.
Hi. I wanted to ask about the meters and being raised. I know it was supposed to be passed at this meeting. Unless I've missed something, I didn't hear it. And what, do we have a date?
There's no date out there yet.
There's no date out there yet. They still working on all that right now.
Okay. Okay, that is fine. That's all I needed to know, because we don't live in Suwannee. We have a home there, a vacation home, and we haven't received any kind of notice, so I wanted to be sure.
Okay. What's your name again now, your full name?
Mary Ann Griffin.
Mary Ann Griffin, okay. All right. And that way I'll get Mr. Leon, and maybe if he finds out something, he can give you a call, give you an update on that.
Well, I really appreciate it, and I appreciate everything you guys have done.
And what's your phone number?
904-219-6327.
You get that, Miss Martha? Mm-hmm. Thank you, ma'am.
All right.
Anybody else? Anybody else on the phone? Motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Ms. Wood, all in favor. All right.